Hello, welcome to the second podcast in the series on aphantasia. Today we're going to discuss visualisation. I'm not on my own this time. I've got some friends with me. I've got
Laura
and Mona,
both of who can visualise, unlike me. So what we're going to do is we're going to explore bits of the visualisation and try and understand the experience we have from our own perspective. So we'll get straight into it, and we're going to talk about reading. Now, for me, this is a really important thing because I would really like to read fiction. I would really like to read the classic novels, but I can't. Now, you're going to think, if you visualise, why not? And it's because I don't get any visual experience from reading. So I'm going to share that and say, why is this different? Because I know it's different because from talking to others. So
yeah, we were just saying about if you're reading a story, is you can create your own pictures from it. So the book comes to life as you read. So you create your own characters, you can see the buildings, you can see the details, and that's kind of the beauty of reading for me.
Yeah, no, same here. It's especially when it's fiction, because you can, although I'm sure the author has their own visualization of what it looks like, you can come up with something completely different.
See, that's...
But it's still, it kind of gets it, live. And when you go back every evening, you can still visualise that person that you read about last night. Or
no one, I know that, to me, this is the bit where it gets really weird, because I know if you're visualising with me, I wouldn't be able to read at the same time. Now, I know from what you've just said and how you're articulating it, you can probably do that. So how does it work to see the image and read the words at the same time? Does it?
Yeah, it kind of goes hand in hand for me. It comes to life as I read the words. Yeah.
I'm a very slow reader, I have to say, when I read fiction, because I like to kind of get all the details. And sometimes I do take a break just to, maybe it looks like this.
Do you reread sequences then? Because
sometimes I do, and I have to say sometimes I can be so tired the next evening, and you go back and you think, what did I read last night? Can't remember, so I go back and I reread it.
Well, the question for me would be then, do you see the same thing having reread it, or does it change if you read it again? Does it come up with something different, or do you then just see everything the same in the same way when you've read that passage? So if you went back and read the book 2 years later, would you see that same image, or does it change?
Well, that's a good question, because I don't think I've read the book twice.
I'm different. I think I'm a quick reader. I kind of skim over the details a little bit. So for me, probably then, if I just go back, the image might be different. I might not have built up a really solid picture in my mind, but it's kind of the same.
So I'll give you an example of that. Say you read like a series of books where it had the same character in the book. Like a good example is probably Harry Potter. Yeah. Everyone's going to recognise that as a story. If you read the first book and then the second book, are the characters the same visually, or do they change because obviously they've got older and other things? Do you build that in?
I think
in?
It's really hard with things like that when there's a film involved.
Yeah, obviously now
immediately,
it's...
I can't remember that far back when the films hadn't come out, actually.
Yeah.
But with anything where there's a film involved, it's really hard. As soon as you've seen the film, all your visualisations from before are kind of ruined, aren't they?
It just clouds it, does it?
Yeah.
You need that exposure just to the original printed media, and then you get your own imagery.
I think that's why people always say, oh, the book was so much better, because in the book you've created your own image, and then you go and watch a film and someone's kind of spoiled it a little bit.
Just
and also I think with just what you said, when you read a book, that's where all the details are as well.
Okay.
Films sometimes miss out.
They get lost, don't
huge
they?
Huge amounts of what's in the book. And for obvious reasons, it's supposed to be viewable, it's supposed to be entertaining. There might be passages in the book that's
and you think,
just
why
not...
have they left that really pivotal piece of information out? But it's because it's... Yeah.
But I guess the thing is if we look around us, we're actually, for the people listening, we're sat outside today, so we can see quite a lot of an expanse of greenery and houses and stuff. I can't imagine describing all that in a word or words on a page. I couldn't do it more justice than with a visual picture. So for me, that was always the bit I didn't understand, because unlike you, Laura, I can't read a book and then see a film, because unless if it's a book with any substance or any kind of structural writing, I really struggle to read it, especially if it's multiple characters. So For me, I'm the opposite. I have to see the film, then I can read the book, which is probably the complete opposite to most people.
It's easier if you can't see it, isn't it? For me, it's just frustrating because I've made this really nice story in my mind, and they're my characters, and I can see them, and then someone else's interpretation is completely different.
Yeah. Or I also see, like, oh, that's interesting how someone interpreted that way when I thought it was that way.
Okay.
Based on what I read, in that book.
So when you read, say, words on a page, if it describes people in a certain way, or are there trigger things that make people certain characters for you? I mean, if I read it was a tall person and it was carrying a stick or something like that, I'd probably get an essence of it. But by the time I'd gotten to the page, I'd probably already forgotten. So how long do you hold? Can you hold that image throughout the whole book? Or how does that work?
It develops, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Me?
I don't know. This is
I guess
what I'm
another
wondering.
Example is that I gave you a little bit earlier, not in this podcast, but when we spoke before the podcast, was I worked with someone for many, many years without actually meeting them in person. So we only had the voice to go by. And it's amazing how you picture someone, what they might look like by just listening to their voice. And when I met this person a few years later, it was nothing like what I had visualized this person, but that didn't change. My picture of that person didn't change, you know, from the first time I met.
So you kept same image.
Yeah, because I thought, oh, that sound like such and such.
Yeah.
Like, I think the image would be like this.
Okay, so you imagine certain height, hair colour, all that kind of thing.
Yeah, like I thought, you know, dark hair. She wasn't.
I mean, we'll move on from books for a moment to talk about people and telephones, because one of the things I hadn't really understood before I realised I had aphantasia is when people have a phone conversation, they imagine the person at the other end of the phone. And I just was really surprised because I didn't realise people could actually do that. So do you guys...
Yeah, I like to maybe know where someone is when I'm talking to them so I can see...
Do you know what room they're in or what house they're in or something?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't speak to people on the phone that much, but yeah, I think if I do, I like... It's good for me to know where they are so I can picture
suppose for the conversation you just feel more you're having a proper conversation.
Yeah, exactly, because you can you can see where they are if it's a familiar place to you,
But so if the phone rings and it's got their name on the phone, you immediately see their face then or see an image of them.
I do, because it shows up on my phone quite literally.
It's good, I got that one. But I guess in terms of your mind, are you seeing anything in your mind?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. I guess, again, it depends on, you know, if you know that person.
Yeah.
The image will be the person, as in the last time you saw them or the image that you have built of that person because you met them before.
Okay.
If you haven't met them, I do it even if there's someone just calling up saying, hello, my name is so-and-so and I'm calling from here and there.
Like a sense.
And you think, it's not like I'm thinking, I wonder what you look like.
Yeah.
But after the conversation is finished, and it's almost just like a split second, you think,
an idea
And just an idea, and then you think, and then it just goes. Yeah. It's not something I store.
Okay.
But it comes.
So it's a transient thing that kind of comes and goes as you're having it, and then off again.
With people I know, that image will stay, but people I've never met or never seen, obviously it's just an image I create in that moment, and then it goes.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to give this a slight curveball then. So what happens when a company phones you? What do you see then?
Well, I don't think about the company. It's the person.
Yeah,
it's the voice.
Yeah, same.
So you'd always kind of picture something, but it wouldn't be like, you know, I mean, say, for example, if someone from Harrods phoned, you don't think of the Harrods building.
No.
You'd probably think of a person.
Just
still.
A person, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So
just
it does...
That particular person.
It is a human thing.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay. I think going on from there, I want to touch on something which is really, for me, was kind of interesting, which is objects. Now... This is kind of a strange one for me. Anyone who's watched my YouTube video on objects, it kind of knows my lack of understanding on this one. Because for objects in my world, I know the objects that are in my world. But I won't... If someone said to me, draw a certain object that I owned, I wouldn't know what it looked like. Like, I know we've got a vase in the lounge. I've got no idea what it looked like. But I would probably know if my wife changed it for another one.
Mm.
So the question is, I have, is where am I storing that image? Now, I guess for you guys, I guess it's images that you have of things in your world. How much of the world do you store around you? So do you know, you know, if I said, okay, what's on your mantelpiece above your fire or what's at home, do you, could you visualise that and look at that in now, or does that not work that way?
I struggle quite a lot with that, actually. Like those, like thinking about my living room, I guess I could think of some things that are on there, but no, I don't have a really clear picture of what's, yeah, no, that's interesting.
Because
I think I'm very selective. If there is something that I really care about, something that means
so
a
significantly important thing, probably.
Then I think I could visualise it quite clearly where it is and think. But there might be things that I've absolutely they're there, but it's more like a dust collector.
I mean, one of the reasons I want to introduce this into the conversation was I had a chat with someone who says if she lost her keys at home, she would mentally walk around the house while in the same room and realise where she'd probably left them.
Yeah, I guess I can see that.
And I was like, whoa, how is that even possible? Yeah. She said, no, she can physically, mentally walk around the house in her mind and realise where she'd probably left them. She can retrace her steps. And I said, you could really do that? And she, can't you? No.
I could do that.
So
yeah.
you could.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be able to see those like really specific. So you're asking about like things on the mantelpiece. I wouldn't be able to say that. But the general, you know, overlying... Yeah. House,
so
kind of, I could go there and see what I've put them there. Yeah, I could do that now. Yeah, I could be in my living room now and think, are they over there on that table?
How does that look? Because in your, we're talking now and you've got your eyes open and we're having a normal conversation, but you're still seeing it, I'm guess.
Yeah.
Does it overlay like an augmented world, or is it separated maybe in a different perspective plane? How does it work?
I don't think it's like really, really clear. I think it's just kind of a thought, it's not in a place.
It's not like a picture.
No.
Like this. I don't see, you know, the.
So it's not a physical manifestation of something you could look at and you say, oh, that's a picture, or of. It's very vague, then, is it, in terms of structure?
Yeah,
I would say so. Yeah. And I wouldn't, like, look at you and try and see my living room.
No.
You look away or
you
close your
eyes. Yeah, kind of. I guess almost up, like you were saying, up. I'm doing this with my hand, no one can see.
Yeah. No, but we were talking about this, and I said, probably for me, it's slightly angled upwards in front of my forehead.
Mm.
And
I think I look upright or something.
Yeah, I do think there is a side for your memory. I do think that's up and to the right, possibly, if I'm doing it now. Or maybe, I'm not sure which side it is. But yeah, I'm remembering what I know. So wherever those pictures are, I'm finding them, I guess.
So how much can you store in terms of that sort of stuff? And what sort of resolution of detail? Is it any kind of...
I think loads, but really low resolution for me. Like, I've got a bank of stuff.
So it's kind of in each other.
It's kind of hazy, but...
It's not like a picture. Like,
like
we're sitting here looking in the garden. You can see all the, you know,
the details of things.
Quite sharp.
Kind of an example for me is thinking... I'm going off-piste a little bit, but... When I'm going somewhere and I know exactly where I'm going, I always feel much better about it because I can picture myself there. So I went for a job interview last year and I felt much better about it because I knew exactly where the place was. So beforehand, I really imagined myself there.
Wow, really?
And I could see, I knew where I was going in and I could see myself. Does that make sense?
I know people can do it and I,
I always
think, oh great, okay, how does that work? Because I know I can't do that at all. And I mean...
And so, like, for me, like, coming here today, I was thinking, oh, I'm not really sure... I couldn't imagine myself coming in because your house has changed because you've had all of this building work. So the front of her house looks different. So threw me a little bit because I couldn't imagine what I'd be walking into because it looked different. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. I know from talking to others that's an experience people have. I mean...
It's the same. I was just thinking when I came here today, I knew... Yes, I did use my sat-nav because I didn't know the last part. I know how to get to Billericay, but not the last part.
Yeah.
And at home, I kind of visualised, okay, I need to do that, and do the roundabout, and then that's that. And that's how we kind of describe to people as well. If you're going to meet somewhere, very often you say, oh, you know when you pass that?
Yeah.
It's usually a pub. I started to learn the pubs now. I realised that I need to know what the names are. And then you kind of visualise it.
Mm.
We're going to move on very slightly into an area we just started to cover, which is navigation. Because when you think about it, this shouldn't really work. I mean, I drive in the UK where we live. I mean, I drive and I've driven for years. but I don't have a visual memory. So how on earth do I navigate? I used to drive before navigation systems existed. But how did that even work? How can I drive places without having maps in my head or pictures? I mean, you, Zane, Laura, you know, you can visualise yourself there. I don't get anything. I turn a corner when I'm driving and each corner is new to me. I kind of might know an essence of whether it's changed, like maybe a new building or a wall knocked down. But really, no. But I can drive to places without referring. So my stepdaughter was at university and I used to drive there. It was hundreds of miles away. I could drive there without a map and then drive home again. Once I'd been a couple of times, I could do that. But I don't know how. Because when you think about it, that's illogical. Because in essence, if you programmed a computer to be like me and you said, right, you've got no storage of visual imagery and yet you've got to drive to another place and drive back, you'd say, well, it needs to store the images. How else is it going to know?
Yeah.
So
that's interesting because I'm just thinking about there are times when I get in the car, I go to another place and I can't remember how I got there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I do it a lot. You're on autopilot, aren't you?
You're just on autopilot. Yeah. You get there, and if somebody asks, which way did you come? And you think,
don't know.
But you really had to. I was like, yes, I think I came.
But when
from
you,
there.
But when you drive normally, say if you drive to work,
yeah,
or you drive to shops or anywhere else, you kind of know where you're going. Do you visually see the route in your head you're going to take, or how does it manifest itself?
I suppose. Yeah, I guess so.
It just comes by itself. I don't think about that. I have to do that before I get in the car.
So you don't.
If someone says, "Okay, you need to go to Chelmsford."
So you can do it. You can either do it beforehand. You can think, "Oh yeah, how do we get there?" Or you can do it in real time as you're driving.
Yeah, I guess if it's somewhere a little more unfamiliar, then you would kind of think in your head, "Okay, oh yeah, I know that looks like that. I need to turn off at that." And yeah, you do see it if it's kind of a little unfamiliar, but. You know,
if I'm going to a new place,
yeah,
I just look at the last part that I don't know.
Okay.
The first part I know, so I don't need
any. If we took a major junction in a city where we are now is Chelmsford, and there's quite a few major roundabouts.
Yeah.
So can you actually see the roundabout? Maybe the one near the multi-story car park.
Oh yeah, I can see
you can
it now,
see
yeah,
those,
yeah.
And you can see where the junctions go and stuff.
Yeah. I can see that pretty clearly. Yeah.
And you could do that when you're driving.
Yeah. Because I know what lane
you're in.
Well, it's strange. All my life, I've never been able to do that. And from my perspective, I just assumed everyone else couldn't either. Yeah, so when I found out I had the condition, aphantasia, and you kind of explore this kind of stuff, it's only when you start having these kind of conversations you realise what you're able to do and what not able to do and what others can do. And it's really enlightening for me because they kind of think, well, I like knowing where the boundaries are and where things are and how that works. So for me, I mean, I'm an engineer, so I've got a curious mind anyway. But the navigation one is I've kind of unresolved for me because I haven't really worked out how I can do it. Because if you said to me, drive to the station where we are now, I know how to drive there and come back, but I've got no visual clear imagery. No. And if you said to me, right, okay, I mean, I went there this evening, so I got a we covered this earlier, where I get some like residue memory stuff of images.
Mm.
It's kind of like bits that haven't been washed away yet. So I've got some bits that maybe of me sat there this evening waiting to pick up someone, and I've kind of got things like that, but they're not structured enough.
But what if I said, oh, can you direct me to the station?
No.
No.
I would have to draw it on a bit of paper, and I could probably draw a bit of paper with the turnings, but I might not get all the roads right.
You couldn't say, turn right at the.
I couldn't either. I couldn't give you road names.
Road names. I am so bad.
Yeah,
that doesn't sit with me.
So you can't do no. I mean, I
can where I live now.
Yeah,
you start
locally.
To get to know them, but
no, I'd
I do not
outside
use brain
outside.
Power to.
I have lived here for most of my life. And I'm 50-something this year. And I would know probably four road names in town. The whole town. I probably know four road names. That's all I would remember.
No, I would know a lot more than that in Chelmsford, yeah.
I would be, if someone said,
oh, absolutely. But if they said, that's just because I've been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Oh, any town, I would probably say in Chelmsford, I've got Parkway in my head and that's it. I wouldn't know any other road. I don't even know the road my brother lives in. Nothing else at all, really. I mean, it's just a complete void. I mean, I laugh when people say, oh, you get down that road. What was the name of it? I'm like, what, really? Are you kidding me?
Which road you live like,
and it's probably two roads away from where I live. And I'm like, no idea. Absolutely. The best one is when you're at work, somebody might drive past and say, oh, do you know what road this is on? And you're maybe hundreds of metres away from where you are. And I haven't got a clue.
You're
I'm
the
sorry.
Wrong person,
yeah, really. But you feel like, I feel like, exactly. I feel like I should know, but I feel like saying you've got better chance of Google than asking me, really. But that I find is this strange bit, because you think, I walk past these every day. Now, whether it's my memory doesn't take the road sign in or the A road numbers or anything else.
Well, the motorways, any good with the motorways?
Not bad. Yeah. I would say I could get where we are here. We're on the M25 for those in the UK. And I know where the M11 and the M40 is.
Okay.
And the M3, that's about it.
Are you doing all right then? Yeah.
But geography at school. I mean, just a touch on that, I was rubbish at geography, but I probably understand why now. But navigation, I think, is one of those things we all take for granted. And and especially in a car, it's probably slightly worse. But even as a passenger and walking, but when we go out to the shops, I can always find my way back to the car, which, again, puzzles me. If we're walking, we go through these shoppings and everything else, and you kind of walk round to the back somewhere.
What about when you park your car and you think, I do not know where my car is? I always know where my car is. Yeah. Because sometimes, even if I'm in a really busy place, I take a picture of where I've parked my car.
Yeah, I do when I go to...
If it's really... Like, I parked at Westfield the other day in Stratford, so took a picture because it's massive and I couldn't even remember.
I do that at Heathrow, actually. Because Heathrow, when I go there, it's always mental.
That's interesting, because I notice myself, if I'm not the driver, I don't pay attention to it. If I am the driver, I will know where I park my car.
What, subconsciously, you don't have to think about it. It's almost like
it's almost
happens.
Like that is something vital, because I need to get back to it.
Where did I leave my
car?
But
if I'm a passenger, it's kind of, you kind
filtered
of,
it out.
A little bit of a...
But I don't have a mental image. I don't suddenly get an image of where the car is. It's not like I can suddenly picture it and think, oh, it's next to that other car or that edge of the car park. It's
not
like that.
You've obviously just stored it somewhere, but you're not sure where.
Yeah, it's something I can't retrieve, but I can use it to locate it, I guess. But I
find it odd sometimes. If I go to the same place multiple times, there have been times where I've gone to the place I parked yesterday.
Yeah.
But today I've actually parked another place. It's the same. Oh. It's in the same car park.
Well, now this is.
So that, I find that interesting.
Yeah,
you
that
think,
is interesting.
Oh no, that was yesterday. Oh, I'm parked over here today.
Yeah. Now,
so I had to kind of rewind what I did this morning.
Yeah.
Then you think, oh no, there was no space here. I need to go one line up, and then you find the car.
And then
I laugh because I'm coming like this.
I tend to park in the same area when I go somewhere. So if I go to a shopping centre, I'll park in a similar car park. Now, whether that's my brain deciding how I'd cope better, I don't know. I think it probably is, but that's the kind of weirdness.
Maybe you should test it out and park in a different place and see if you get lost.
I'll get myself lost.
Come on,
I'll be phoning up. Where did my car go?
Maybe take someone else with you.
Okay, we're gonna move on slightly from this. That's probably a good link, actually. This is called moving images, this bit. Now, we live in a world of still images and lots of video content. I don't ever experience moving images as a stored image. So I can't access anything that feels like it's a video at all, ever. So if it was someone doing something, if it was like a goal on the television or something else, I only ever see it as a still, an essence of a still picture, if you will. Mm. Now, is this something that's different to your experience? Can you replay images that are moving? How does it work?
Yeah, what about like replaying a conversation? Like that's...
No.
Oh, yeah, I replay conversations a lot in my head.
Ones you having with someone else?
I'm not just talking to myself. conversations that I've had with somebody else. Can go back over
those.
Is
it like you've almost got like we'll take it a VCR because it's an older one, but you can rewind it, fast forward it, and
to an extent. Yeah, there's probably
really?
I, I'm sure there's a name for it. I forget it now, but I think you rehash your memories, don't you? And there's been lots of studies
autobiographical
about
autobiographical memory, yes, that you store it in, which is kind of your experience.
Yeah, so everybody has their own take
story.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you get to decide what ones you have access to, or is it does that do for every type of conversation you have?
Big important conversations come to the forefront more, kind of.
So the more significant they are, the more likely.
Fun episodes. If you get together with friends, let's say that you haven't seen them for 10 years, and then you get together, and then one kind of says a word, or do you remember?
Okay.
Yeah. And then you go back.
That's a trigger point for it.
It's almost like, oh, yes, and you know, do you remember the chair?
Remember that time when we did...
And we did this, and you fell off, and then the other one says, oh, but do you remember that? And you say, no, I don't, but... Oh, yes.
And then they say something, you think, oh, yeah, I remember now, because...
No, I have a really good...
That's when, for me...
It triggers the stuff.
Kind of...
Like reminiscing.
Yeah. I have a really funny story to tell. friends of ours, we went out, got pizza in Pizza Hut, and we're sitting in this corner table near the wall, and it's one of these brick internal walls, and she couldn't get the slice of the pizza out, and forcing it, and in, because it was the first slice, and in she did, and it flipped and it went and stuck to the wall, and it just slid down that wall, and now I don't have a visual memory of it sliding down the wall, but I know it did. And we couldn't help but laugh. I'm really sorry for the people who had to clean it up afterwards. But it was so funny when watching this thing. We just couldn't believe it. I think it was the fact of how it stuck to the wall so significantly. But it's things like that. I have as still images. I mean, you think that
Is that a picture for you?
No, it's not even a picture. It's an essence of knowing it happened. It's like a thing I know happened. And I know when I talk to the lady, I won't name her because it's unfair. But I know it happened because we all laugh about it now. And we do still laugh about it because it really was funny. But I've got no visual memory of that happening. And that's the kind of thing you're thinking, well, that must be. We laugh like drains because it was really funny. I mean, everyone looked it was looking at it. I can't imagine they wasn't. But it was one of those moments you think, oh, you couldn't make that up. They could never happen again like that. But that's, to me, I would like to have had images like that to be able to store them as something, because it must have been funny to watch it come down.
Yeah.
So you guys get images in your life when silly stuff happens.
I'm curious as to if we were to experience, okay, let's say what you just said, that pizza slice sliding down. Now, if us three experience that, I think we would have three different images of that, you know, the colours, the sharpness of it, the type of pizza,
people's
how
reactions.
It slides down. I think we would all take
you
away.
You make your own stories of what happened,
different,
don't you?
Experience.
Yeah.
So our image and whatever video, whatever we store, would be different.
Yeah.
Even though it was the same experience.
I mean, it's really interesting because I suppose from a non-visualizer aspect, I suppose, I always, as soon as I found out, I just assumed everyone's mind was like a camera and they just stored exactly the same thing. Because I've got no other information to draw on. So I just assumed it was exactly the same for everybody. And that's how it was.
No, and I think we feel the same, that what we see, everybody else sees.
Yeah, you assume that everyone has the same take.
Because I suppose we've never asked other people. No. I mean, you imagine saying to your parents, what do you actually see in your mind? They would look at you like, are you okay?
And I think that makes it very difficult sometimes because we assume so much.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everything we say and do and is based on assumptions.
Yes.
And it's based on your experience.
Yeah.
That's how you make your assumptions. Yeah. So you think everybody else would like that.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they may not because of various reasons, various experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that's a bit of a side.
No.
I think it's important because it's part of the understanding of it, because we can't...
Because we don't ask enough questions, I think, because we assume.
I suppose we're inquisitive as people, individuals, but we've never really thought to ask these kind of questions of what you actually see in your mind. You might say, oh, what colour do you see when comparing a colour? But the actual experience of the sense of visualisation, it's something we don't really ask.
It's like the whole, is it the blue and...
the dress.
The dress, yeah.
Yeah.
What do you see? Those things. And there's the sound one as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called, but people experiencing different things. There's only those sort of things in the last couple of years that these things have come to light, realising that people can see exactly the same thing and see
interpretation of it in their mind is totally different and unique. And I think that's, you know...
And that's based on assumptions and experience, isn't it?
Okay. We're just about done here, guys. I just want to say, if anyone's got any questions, you can always write to me at the email that's found on the podcast site. I just want to say, next time we're going to cover sound.